Amen. Praise the Lord for that special. And what a blessing it has been just to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to hear the music that we've heard. And I trust the Lord has ministered to your heart already today. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And began to pray about what the Lord would have me to preach. And the Lord brought me to this passage. And trust that this is exactly what He has for us this morning. Once you've found your place in the copy of God's Word, if you'd join me in standing, if you're able to this morning, out of respect for the Lord's Word today as we read this passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We examine here in this passage the life of King Uzziah, one of the kings of the southern tribe of Judah, there during the split kingdom of Israel at that time. And the Bible says in verse 1, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." I want you to transfer then over to verse 16. The Bible says there in verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was king, or was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." We have a king here. And the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he was seeking God, God was using him in powerful ways. As long as God was getting the glory. But when he looked to himself, when he began to take credit for the things that God was doing, the Bible says he was destroyed. And I want to preach a message to you entitled this morning, Seeking the Lord or Looking to Ourselves. Seeking the Lord or Looking to Ourselves. Let's pray, and after we're done praying, you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we do come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. Lord, we are so grateful for, Lord, this church and all that has been done already in this place this morning, the encouragement that we've received. And yet, Lord, I pray now as we open your word and we study from it that you would give us exactly what we would have need of. As we study this king, Lord, and what you did through him and, Lord, the mistakes that he had made, I pray that we would learn from his example, Lord, that you would be with us now and be with us during this time here in your word. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. The question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are you seeking the Lord with your life, or are you looking to yourself? Who's doing the work in your life? As it relates to this story, the idea of seeking the Lord, what King Uzziah did in his early life, the idea of looking to him, it's this idea, it's not something that we can do, but it's something that in another's strength and in another's power, God can do a great work in our lives. As we're yielded to him and as we're looking to him, it's leaning on him and it's allowing him to do the building in your life, if you will. Leaving it to him and seeking him. And the Bible says as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus Christ is the foundation for the Christian life. If you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen, your life has been given new life upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, as a Christian, it is your job to yield to Him, to seek the Lord so that He can begin building and growing you as you live the Christian life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, I understand in a crowd this size, there may be someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've come here for this purpose of knowing Jesus Christ today. But if you don't know Him yet, understand that you're not built on that foundation as of yet. That you, the things that you accomplish in your life are those of your own doing. And yet when you call upon Him, when you accept Jesus Christ your Savior, He is that foundation that has been laid in your life. And then once you live the Christian life yielding to Him, God can begin to build you up. God can begin to strengthen you. God can begin to bless you, much like we would see God doing in Uzziah's life as he looked to God. God is to be doing the building. The growth is to be coming from Him. And what you accomplish in the Christian life is because of Him. It's Him empowering you to be able to do the things He has called you to accomplish. So the question then you ask yourself as a Christian, am I seeking the Lord? Am I looking to Him for His help? Am I calling upon Him? I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter gives us a little bit of the process of the growth in the Christian life in this passage. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he says this. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." He says, as a baby Christian, as a new Christian, you want to have the milk of the Word of God. There's a hungering and a thirsting for it. And guess what you find out when you get into God's Word? You find out that God is gracious, that God is willing to give the blessings to those who are seeking Him and calling upon Him. He says in verse 4, "To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." He says, I give you Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone in your life. And as you yield to Jesus Christ, God gives you a new life. A spiritual life. He says we're living stones, lively stones. We're built up into a spiritual house. Listen, what a blessing to have a spiritual rebirth. What a blessing to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and have spiritual life in our lives. And when that is the case, we ought to be looking to God and yielding to Him. But the other question this morning, are we seeking God or are we looking to ourselves? What we're accomplishing here in this life, is it of our own doing? Are we looking to ourselves? Are we lifting ourselves up as it relates in the story? Listen, it's a matter of pride in the heart. The Bible says back in our passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16, "But when he was strong," who had made Uzziah strong? Certainly it was God. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." It was a matter of pride in the heart. Listen, I imagine that he began to mistake the blessings of God as things that he had accomplished. I imagine that he began to look past and looked at all the things that God had done through him, and he began to feel pretty good about himself. He began to feel pretty good about where he was at. He began to step back and survey his life, and he saw a few things. He saw success. He saw fame. He saw might. And I want to remind you that all these things had been given to him by God, but he took credit for them. And what had been given as blessings from God, the devil took and turned them into a snare that ultimately brought his downfall. When he began to take credit for what God had done, and he began to look to himself in his own strength and in his own power, the Bible says that's what brought about his destruction. You see, as a Christian, we'll either be seeking the Lord As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Or we'll be looking to ourselves. We'll be living the Christian life in our own strength, but the key for his life is the same key for our lives. It's found in verse 5 there when he says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That word prosper has this meaning. It's this idea of moving forward or pushing ahead. In other words, advancing for the kingdom of God. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And I want to remind you this morning, listen, as a Christian, if you'll just seek the Lord, God will use your life. If you'll just call upon him and you'll just show him that you need him, God will use you. Listen, we live in America today. I'm so thankful for this land. What a great blessing it is to live in America. It's been called the land of opportunity. And what a great blessing that in the land in which we live, listen, the American dream is alive and well, and you can set out and accomplish those things, certainly that God has called you to accomplish. But I want to remind you this morning, what's a great blessing can also become a great curse in our own lives. Because, listen, we've been so blessed by God. We have so many things. God has given us so much that if we're not careful, we can begin to live our lives as though we don't need God anymore. We can say, God, thank you for what you've done, but I'll take it from here. We sometimes live without a dependency upon God. I often think of my grandparents. My grandparents grew up in the Great Depression. In fact, my grandmother was born the day the stock market crashed in 1929. We often blamed her for that, but she certainly wasn't at fault for that. But if you ever met my grandma, I mean, she is a pistol, and right away she goes. She's always running, even now runs circles around me. I remember my grandpa, when we were growing up and when our kids were having Christmas, he would sit back and he would say, man, these kids are so blessed. They have so much. He'd say, for Christmas, we received an apple and an orange. I said, come on, Grandpa, you got to be kidding me. You got a piece of fruit for Christmas? He said, yeah, we got an apple and an orange. There were six children in the home. There wasn't a lot of money to go around. To top that, he said, we used to take my dad's boots, his work boots, and those were our toy trucks. And I'm thinking, now I know he's messing with me. He said, no, I'm telling you the truth. We would take my dad's shoes and we would push them around like they were trucks, and we would pretend that they were the toys that we have. And I got to thinking, listen, we have been so blessed in our nation. God has blessed us beyond belief, and if we're not careful, we can sit back and enjoy the blessings of God and live like we don't need God. Boy, that's a danger for us in our Christian lives. As we study the life of Uzziah, there's a portion of his life where Uzziah sought the Lord. Praise the Lord for that portion of his life. And I might add, the biblical scholars have looked back and they've gone through genealogies, and they believe for the first 41 years of his 52-year reign that Uzziah sought the Lord. For 41 years of that reign, he looked to God and God blessed him. Go back, if you would, to our passage there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The Bible says in verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he was seeking God. You know what I see here in this king? I see a humility there. I see a humble heart. It's very possible that it was because he was 16 years old becoming the king. His father had died, and he now was the new king, and I think he probably began to think about kings like King David, King Solomon, such wisdom and such godly men, and began to think of that, and no doubt the way to the office of the king of Judah would have been overwhelming. And with the weight of that office, he said, God, I cannot do this on my own. God, if I'm going to accomplish anything for you, it's because of you. It's because of your strength in my life. You know, I thought about it this way. This is where every Christian life starts, in humility. Calling upon God as a sinner and saying, God, I am a sinner. I need your help. I have to humble myself before an almighty God. I have to confess my sins before you, God, so that you would forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven. But what a blessing it is to be in the presence of a sinner that is calling upon Jesus for salvation. And I guess I'll never grow tired of watching that person humble themselves before God, because this is where the Christian life starts, in humility. Much like Uzziah would have called upon God and Uzziah would have sought God, it's the same way in the Christian life. Listen, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you started out in humility. You called upon God with a humble heart and said, God, would you help me? Would you take me to heaven? What a blessing to see that. And yet, the Bible says the king would humble himself and go to Zechariah, the great prophet. I can imagine some of the conversations that he might have had with him. He said, Zechariah, do you have any words from God for me today? Zechariah, I'm really struggling with this decision in the kingdom. And listen, there's this battle that's going forward, or this request has been made of me. What do you think God would have to say about that? And can I remind you that the Old Testament kings that were successful always kept God's man close to them? They would always look to the counsel of what God's man had been given to them. You see, King Uzziah sought the Lord because he knew he needed him. He knew what I'm trying to accomplish is something more than I have the ability to accomplish. I want to similarly remind you this morning, if you're seeking God today as a Christian, if you're looking to him, it's because you realize you need his help in your life. If you got up this morning and you got out your Bible and you read in God's Word and you sought God very early in the day, it's because you realize I cannot do what you've called me to accomplish without your help in my life. If you're here this morning in this congregation, listen, at least some part of you said, I need God's help. I need to go to the place where I can see God or where I can hear the message from God's Word. If we're seeking the Lord, it's because we know we need Him. It's because we know we need to call upon Him. And as Uzziah sought God, God began to build him up. You read the account there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It's incredible what God began to do through him. God began to do some mighty things. God gave him power and strength, things that he could not have accomplished for himself. I want you to go back to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Here in Joshua, the children of Israel are getting ready to go over to the promised land. They're on the doorstep there. The Jordan River lies before them, and they're about to set forth and try to accomplish something that the generation before them could not accomplish. And the Bible says, as Joshua stood before them, in verse 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Children of Israel, as they were going into the promised land, they had to take God with them. They had to take the law with them, and they had to meditate, the Bible says, therein day and night. It had to become a way of life. In other words, seeking God was something that they had to do on a daily basis if God was going to give them victory. And if God was going to give them success. And I'll remind you this morning that the word success is only seen one time in the Scriptures. It's here in this verse. In other words, for the Christian life this morning, if you want to be successful, you'll be seeking God. You'll be looking to Him. Listen, no matter what calling you have, no matter what occupation you may have, listen, if you want to be successful in this world and as a Christian, you'll seek God every day of your life. You'll realize you need God. You see, what Uzziah had in his life, they were all blessings from God. You read a story. You see blessing after blessing. We don't have time to go through it all here this morning. I encourage you to study it sometime. You see military might. You see property. You see strength, machinery. God gave him favor with people, not only of his own nation, but those of surrounding nations. And all these were blessings from God. And the Bible says as long as he acknowledged them as God's blessings, God would continue to work through him. God would continue to strengthen him, allow him to continue to push forward and continue to accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. And I'm reminded from this passage, listen, God's blessings in the Christian life enable us to go forward and accomplish more for him. Yeah. Listen, if God has blessed you today, he has not blessed you just for your sole purposes alone. Perhaps God has blessed you with a good job and God has blessed you with finances. Listen, He has not blessed you so that you would just hoard those things yourself. God has blessed you so that you could turn around and do more for the cause of Christ. If God has given you the abilities and talents this morning, God has not given you those talents so that you might stand before people and they might applaud you and say, "What a wonderful talent that person has." God has given you those talents so that you might do more for Him. You see, God's blessings enable us to go forward and accomplish more for Him. And that's exactly what God was doing in Uzziah's life. He was building a great kingdom so that they would accomplish more for the cause of Christ. But in verse 15, we begin to see a shift in his life. At the end of verse 15, the Bible says, "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped." We understand God was doing the helping there. God was doing the advancement, the blessing. But then notice those next four words, "till he was strong." You see a shift there. It goes from God helping him and God blessing him to the other side. "Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done." You see a heart that begins to be lifted up in pride. And I will say this, pride will take you to that point in your life, to where what God has done for you and what God has done through you, you begin to take credit for those things. And that's exactly where the devil envisions every one of us. And as much as we might study Uzziah, the man who sought the Lord, we'd also have to study Uzziah, the man who was lifted up in pride. The man who was lifted up in pride. Verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God." And while every Christian life starts in humility, a humble heart crying out to God and saying, "God, would you please save me? God, would you please help me as I live this Christian life?" Can I say this morning that the devil desires to take every Christian and drive them far away from humility and drive them to a heart of pride that says, "Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Oh, these last several years spent serving for the Lord, man, I've done a pretty good job for myself, haven't I? It's time for me to enjoy some of these successes." The goal of the devil is to fill you with pride, which ultimately will bring your destruction. You look through Uzziah's life there in verse 16, you see the sin. It's a sin of pride. The Bible says, "For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." Here was the sin. God's laws and God's commands don't apply to me. Here's a king that had no business going into the temple and offering incense. That was reserved for the children of Levi, the tribe of Levi, the children of Aaron. That was their job as God had given to them. The king had a completely separate job. But here's what Uzziah said. He said, "I understand what God has said, but it doesn't apply to me. I'm willing to do whatever I want. I've accomplished all this. What else can I not accomplish? Who's going to tell me no?" His heart began to be lifted up in pride. Listen, can I say this morning, in pride, we do the same? We know what God's word has to say. We know how we should be living. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, listen, we can begin to compartmentalize the Christian life and compartmentalize the scripture and say, "Well, I will follow after this scripture, but this one I'm going to set aside." And in a heart of pride, we say, "God, I'll take some of you, but God, I don't need all of you. I want to live life like I want to live it. I want to do what I want to do. And God, thank you for the blessings, but I'll take it from here." And I would say this morning, all sin comes down to pride. I wanted this for myself regardless of what God says. I understand what God's word says, but I want this for myself more than what God's word has to say. We see the sin there. And then we see the confrontation. Look in verse 17. "And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, 'It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God.'" And I want to just stop and say, praise God for the man of God who was willing to stand up to the king. willing to confront him with his sin and say, listen, it's not for you to be in here. He did not look at the office of the king and say, listen, he can do whatever he wants. He said, no, God has commands and God has laws, and God has placed me in this place to remind other people of God's laws. And I would say this morning, if you're a Christian and you have someone in your life that's willing to stand up to you and point out when you've done something wrong in your life and lovingly care for you, I would say this, praise God for that person. Praise God for the man of God, for the pastor that we have here at this church that would stand behind this pulpit week after week and, listen, may not preach a message that's real popular, but it's something that we have need of. And we ought to praise God daily for the people that God has placed in our lives that will confront us with our need to turn away from our sins. We ought to thank God for them and not push them away. We see the confrontation, and then we see the choice. Because I believe in our midst of our sin, God gives us a choice to either repent from that sin or to continue therein. In verse 19, Uzziah is in that place. He's been confronted by the priest and these 80 valiant men, and they're standing before him and they're confronting him. And now he has the choice to either repent or to continue in therein. And yet look at that pride, it continues. The Bible says in verse 19, the Bible says, then Uzziah was wroth. He had a choice, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, he was angry. He said, how dare you come and tell me that I can't do something that I want to do? Do you not understand all that I've accomplished? And there was a choice to make. And he chose not to repent, but to continue therein. And then we see the consequence. The end of verse 19, the Bible says, while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. Now watch verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. Dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. A leper unto the day of his death. Again, I mentioned this before, but for the next 11 years before he would die of that disease of leprosy, he's cut off from society, he's cut off from his family, he's cut off from the kingdom, but most importantly, he's cut off from the house of the Lord. Because as a leper, he would not have been able to go and worship at the house of the Lord. And listen, what could have been had he continued to allow the Lord to build him up? Had he continued to seek the Lord throughout his life? What would have happened if he would have continued to look to everything that he had accomplished as what God had accomplished through him and the blessings that God had done through him? This morning, can I say this? Pride brings regret. I imagine for those next 11 years that he would begin to look back and think about how God had blessed him in those first 41 years of his reign. He'd begin to think of the things that God had done through him, and yet pride brings regret. And I would say this, you don't ever want to get to a place where you'd look at your life and ask, what could have been? What could have been if I continued to seek the Lord? You don't ever want to look back on that decade in which you were serving the Lord and God was doing things from you in your life, and now you find yourself completely out of church and completely away from serving God. And you don't want to ever look back and say, I wonder what God could have accomplished. But pride will bring regret. You see, the mistake is seen when the king takes credit for what God has clearly done through him. And God was the one that had raised him up. God was the one that had given the power. God was the one that had marvelously helped him until he was strong. But when he was strong, he said, God, thank you for that, but I'm good from here. I can take care of it going forward. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 29 this morning, if you would. Proverbs chapter 29. The Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Listen, when we approach God as though we don't need him, that's a sure way to a path of destruction in the Christian life. But when we humble ourselves before Him and we say, Lord, I need You. I need Your help. I cannot accomplish what You called me to accomplish without Your help. The Bible tells us that God will bless and God will uphold the humble in spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. But I want you to think about this morning. We all have pride within us. It's a matter of the heart. It's a human nature. And while we have it in us, listen, pride gets you nowhere with God. You have to humble yourself and fall before Him and tell Him that you need Him. And yet 41 years of King Uzziah's reign were lived in humility, seeking God. Those were the good years. The last 11 years, what a waste. What a waste. In fact, the Bible tells us that he would continue to be the king, but his son would reign in his stead. He would only be the king in name only. And the Bible reveals to us that those last 11 years would define his entire kingdom. Go with me back, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 23. The Bible says there, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Listen, at his funeral, they didn't talk about the things that he had done, and those accomplishments. They talked about the last 11 years that were lived as a leper. What a waste. 11 years defining what it would otherwise have been a great kingdom and a great reign. Listen, oftentimes the fourth quarter of a game defines a team. We've all heard it said before, boy, if the team could have just lasted or if the game could have ended in the third quarter, we would have won the game. But the thing is, you got to play the entire game. You have to finish that entire game. And listen, what a blessing last week as we celebrated our church anniversary. We had the theme, real people and real faith. The Brother Herring preached a great message last Sunday morning, a very convicting message. Listen, it's really not what's already in our past, but it's what lies in front of us that determines what we're going to do. And I began to think about that. We sang this song as a choir, real people and real faith. Honestly, I don't know that another song would encapsulate my testimony of just growing up in church and just seeing people living lives for God. And one of the lines says that they weren't perfect people, but they looked to God. And I began to think last Sunday and quite honestly got overwhelmed at all that God has done in my life. The examples that He's given to me, and can I say this? The ones that have made the most impact upon my life are the ones that have finished. They've finished well. They've run their race. They're rejoicing with God in heaven now. And listen, what a great blessing. Those are the ones that have impacted me the most. I couldn't help but think of Brother Ron Midgley last week. First anniversary that he would spend with God in heaven. And he often would say this, God gave me I had the first 40 years of serving myself, but God gave me the last 40 to serve Him. And he certainly did serve Him, and he humbled himself before God. And I don't know about you, but that's how I want to finish. I want to finish in that same matter. I thought of him and others last week as we sang, and I was struck with this thought, listen, God's sure been good to me. All the blessings that I have in my life, all the things that I have, a beautiful wife and four beautiful children and the ministry that God has given to me and the calling that God has given in my life. And then I thought about it this way. In foolish pride, all that could be gone in one instant. Just like in Uzziah's life. When he got away from seeking after the Lord and he said, thank you, Lord, for the blessings, but I'm pretty powerful now. I'm pretty strong right now, and listen, it doesn't happen like that. It happens over time. And I can't help but think this morning that maybe sometimes as Christians, we can get lulled into just living the Christian life, going through the motions. And in a heart of pride, we may not even realize we're doing this, but not crying out to God for His help, but just doing it in our own strength and in our own power. And instead of seeking the Lord daily, instead of like the children of Israel who would have to meditate therein day and night if they were going to go into the promised land and accomplish great things from God, instead of doing that, we might just coast through the Christian life. We might coast through the Christian life as parents, as husbands and wives, laboring of the ministry, we might coast through the Christian life and say, you know, God, I appreciate what you've done in the past, but I've taught this class for 20 years. I'm not so sure I need you anymore. Listen, we might not ever utter those words, but we may live a life that says, God, I don't need you. And this morning, we have to ask ourselves this question. Are you seeking the Lord, or are you looking to yourself? As we have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, are we seeking God as we live the Christian life? Or are we living it in our own strength and in our own power? Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, before you can seek the Lord, you have to fall before Him. And you have to acknowledge your need of salvation and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then once you've done that, then you can seek the Lord as He begins to grow you as you're living the Christian life. There may be some Christians here this morning and you say, Brother Andy, I want to finish well. I want to continually seek the Lord all the days of my life, and I want to make a decision this morning with the Lord's help that I'll just continually seek Him. And then maybe there's someone here today that perhaps it has been a heart of pride, a hard attitude, and maybe it's been the ministry that you've labored in for some time, or you've just kind of gone through the motions as you've lived the Christian life. And you say, God, thank you for that reminder today. I'm living this life, and maybe there's a hint of pride, and Lord, I want to get back to where I'm seeking you daily, where I'm depending on you as I live the Christian life. Lord, as we come before you today, we're so thankful for your goodness, Lord, and we're thankful for these messages, Lord, these characters that we can learn from and that we can draw our strength from you. And I pray, Lord, for the decisions that need to be made today, Lord, I pray that we would not hold back, but we would do what you've called us to do. And if you're speaking to our heart, Lord, I pray that we would come to this altar this morning and make the decisions that you've called us to make. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.